Hearings begin today in the case of the six Baltimore police officers accused in relation to the death of Freddie Gray. Gray sustained fatal injuries while in police custody in April. His arrest was captured on video, and it sparked days of protests and unrest. Today, Baltimore police and City Hall say they're prepared for the protests that are expected around the city. In this installment of our series, On the Watch, Fixing the Fractured Relationship Between Baltimore's Police and Its Communities, WYPR's Mary Rose Madden reports on the city's community policing efforts since the April unrest.
My name is LaAsia, and I'm 14.
On some of the hottest days of this summer, LaAsia Griffin, with some help from her older brother Jamal, popped a white canopy tent and set up two long red tables at a busy stoplight in West Baltimore's Poppleton neighborhood.
The store is called Asia. I have top pops that are 2 full quarter. I have pina colada and peach.
Throughout the summer, LaAsia's candy shop brought in a few $100. She saved it all. She's trying to take her family to Six Flags. Her brother looks over with pride. It's been a hot summer after all. Jamal says one day in particular stands out. There was an emergency just a few blocks over. In the middle of the day, they heard a woman crying for help.
And she locked the keys in the car. Now, during the process of her locking the keys in the car, she was going to the back of the trunk to get another child seat out to put in the back seat. But in the process, she locked all the doors by mistake.
The door shut and then locked everything.
All the babies was locked in the car.
She had called the police, but was frantic. Jamal and his cousin went to help her, and 40 minutes later, just as they got the trunk popped and the windows down, the police finally showed up. For Jamal, it was an example of how some people in his community take care of each other. Because they have to. Because where are the police when you really need them? LaAsia and Jamal's mom, Nessa, walks up to the candy shop. She sits down in a cooler full of iced teas and sodas. She and Jamal say calling the police is a crapshoot.
They always say that the police is here for our safety and for our support and help. A lot of people are scared to call on them now.
That's right.
Wasn't always this way, Nessa says. She remembers that 6 months ago, before the riots, there were officers who reached out.
They used to patrol this neighborhood. I know of two of them, used to patrol this neighborhood, and they was real nice, real nice. I mean, they did their jobs and weren't disrespectful.
They ride through just to say hi.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And ask us, is everything okay around here, you know? And they wanted to know, did anybody need any assistance, anything?
They made us feel like we were family.
You know, they were going to look out for us no matter what.
That's community policing in a nutshell. When officers get out of their cars and mix with the people they're trying to serve and protect. It happens here in Baltimore, and doing a better job of it is one of the main goals of the city's new police commissioner. But in neighborhoods like Nessa's, especially since the riots, it feels like a rarity. And so, Nessa says, many people have given up on the police.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of people just don't even want to deal with it.
It's the monthly meeting of the Community Relations Council, or CRC, in the Western Police District. This is supposed to be one of the main opportunities for citizens to talk with the officers who police them, face-to-face, in a forum for solving problems. But tonight, as the older crowd files into the church, there's a notable absence of young people. Major Cherie Briscoe takes the mic and introduces herself.
My name is Cherie Briscoe. I'm a 21-year veteran of the Baltimore City Police Department. I'm here in the Western District. This is my third stop.
She's the sixth commander of the Western in the past 6 years, and she's tasked with establishing a new relationship with the community. But the most basic symbol of that change, officers getting out of their cars and engaging residents more, that piece will not change overnight, she says. Most of the people at the meeting want to talk about the drugs, burglaries, and shootings on the rise this summer. Briscoe tells them they can call on her as often as they need to. But the CRC is full of people who know that already.
Community relations councils across America, and this, again, it's not unique to Baltimore, are made up of the little church ladies. And they're very, very important.
New Baltimore Police Commissioner Kevin Davis.
But they're the choir. So we're always preaching to the choir. We're asking the choir for more help. Well, the choir comes to church every Sunday. And that's a traditional outreach group for police departments. But we've missed the boat. And we need to up our game with our community policing strategies.
But Davis knows that true community policing means getting his officers to break out of their comfort zones, to acknowledge their shortcomings, and that's a huge challenge.
We train people for 6.5 months for the very worst case scenarios in our profession. But throughout a police officer's day, and it can be in the most challenged community in the city or in the country, we deal with far more people who just want to speak to a police officer. And we have to do a better job at actually training people how to do that. But we have to recognize when someone's in crisis and then deal with that moment of crisis accordingly and without the cynicism and without the sarcasm and without the disrespect.
One of Davis's first big tests as commissioner is the current standoff between Baltimore police and one of the groups they find hard to reach, the city's young and mostly poor and black dirt bike riders, known as the Wheelie Boys.
We out here. This all we got right here. All of us. This all we got. What we gonna do? They gonna take it from us. You know what I'm saying?
Ying pulls up on a red and white bike, red gloves, gold teeth, tattoos on his arms. He says police target him and other riders because they look a certain way. But he concedes he and his friends make the mistake of profiling cops, too, often expecting the worst from them. But they could come together on the issue of riding their dirt bikes through the city, Ying says.
Right now, we're fighting for a park so we can have, like, a certain area we can ride and have a certain area for the audience just to watch. If they want to come to me in a good approach, I will talk to them. I will give them hints of what to do and how to make it better for us.
Davis says he's not going the zero-tolerance route. He wants to collaborate with the riders and find a solution. But there's more to it, say Ying and his friends. As he talks, other young men approach. Jack Boy Dummy, a 30-something friend, says the way police routinely talk to them is degrading.
So now when they pull up on us, they tell us, like, go on your porch or go in your backyard.
We're in a situation where we just got to deal with it.
He says it seems like the police don't care to know them. But according to Davis, Jack Boy Dummy and his friends are exactly the population police most need to hear from, and the one they're missing through avenues like that community meeting in the church.
So, like, let's say there was a neighborhood meeting, a community meeting, and the commander of the district was going to be there. Would you go?
Yeah, I'd go.
You don't hear about any of those kind of meetings in your district?
No. I don't hear nothing. I don't really hear nothing about nothing being done as far as changing what they doing. Now you might find a bunch of stuff about changing what's going on out here. But as far as their actions, no, I don't see nothing transpiring as far as changing what they doing.
Jack Boy Dummy looks at all the young men gathered around. We need to be heard, he says. I'm Mary Rose Madden for 88.1 WYPR.